Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar here at St. Patrick's Parish in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schonk, both friars at St. Patrick's, and also Father Thomas Moore Garrett, an associate executive director of the Dominican Foundation in New York and a classmate of mine. Let us start today with a prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now we, as Dominicans, always start with the Hail Mary because of our close association with Mary. And, of course, many other people have been close to Mary as well, including St. John Paul II, who had a real devotion to Mary. He's the one that gave us the luminous mysteries, as well as he started the tradition of ending his encyclicals by invoking Mary. And so he had, throughout his life, a large devotion to Mary. And we're fortunate to have today in the studio Father Thomas Moore Garrett, who's researched a lot about this. So can you tell us about this link between John Paul II and Our Lady?
Yeah, I think that, look, throughout his papacy, one of the features that had defined John Paul II and his service to the Church has been uniting the Church throughout the world to devotion to Our Lady. And in a particular way, Our Lady of Fatima came to play a unique place in his papacy, and this happened very early on. Many of our listeners, or some of our listeners at least, might remember May 13th, 1981, where an assassination attempt was made on John Paul II's life. Now, how that was connected to Fatima is May 13th was an anniversary of when the apparitions began in the fields of Portugal, where Mary appeared to three young children, all right, that came to be known to us as Lucy, Jacinta, and Francisco. All right, and what John Paul II did, all right, the coincidence was not lost on him. And what he did later is he took one of those very bullets that was lodged in him in the assassination attempt on May 13th, 1981, and in gratitude to Our Lady for having survived that attempt on his life in St. Peter's Square, he took that bullet and placed it in the crown of a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, where it remains to this day, as a sign of gratitude for his life.
Mm-hmm. And we remember this link between Fatima and St. John Paul II to this day. That bullet's still there in that shrine in Fatima, and there's also now a link to the United States as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the opportunities that became available to us is the postulator of St. John Paul II's cause, which I think was probably one of the easiest.
Now, you mean by postulator someone who helps the process of canonizing, making John Paul II St. John Paul II?
Yeah, a postulator would be the person who's given the task to make the case for why this person should be a saint, and a particular point of devotion and guidance for Catholics and people around the world. All right, and Sławomir Oder, a Polish Monsignor Sławomir Oder, was that person. All right, now that's probably one of the easiest postulation tasks of recent years, was to make the case for why John Paul II was a saint. All right, but in any event, he had that honor, and gave to the Dominican friars a he had with him a number of relics, all right, and effects, personal effects of John Paul II that came into his hands as a result of his work in pursuing John Paul II's sainthood. One of those relics is a small portion of the sash that John Paul II was wearing when that assassination attempt was made on his life in May 13th, 1981 in St. Peter's Square. And that particular piece that he has is soaked with some of the blood that he had lost that very day. And what he said to the Dominican friars is, I would like to see this relic honored at a place of prominence in the United States, and I am willing to part with this relic, provided that you can find a fitting place for it to receive veneration. We were honored at the opportunity, and in fact had the perfect place for this relic to be placed, and that's at our Church of St. Vincent Ferrer, right as Cardinal Dolan says, right in the smack dab middle of Manhattan at 63rd and Lexington. And what we're going to be doing is placing this relic at the foot of a statue of Our Lady of Fatima that has been in that church since May of 1947.
So there's a real parallel there between the shrine in Fatima and the shrine at St. Vincent Ferrer in New York.
There's an excellent parallel there, and it's one that has a little bit of a history behind it. We had a friar in the 1940s named Father Thomas McGlynn, who was a priest, sculptor, and professor at our college of Providence College in Providence, Rhode Island. And Father McGlynn became particularly interested in what at that time were very recent, fresh apparitions of Our Lady. And he had the opportunity to travel to Portugal and visit with Sister Lucy and sculpt a model of how Sister Lucy remembers Our Lady appearing to her in those fields of May of 1917. What he did from that model that he was able to make in about a week-long audience with Sister Lucy is craft a larger version of that statue that was then placed on the facade of the Basilica Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal today. Before he built the larger statue, he built about a 5-foot model, a life-size model that is positioned in our Church of St. Vincent Ferrer today. And that's where the relic is ultimately going to come to rest. What we've created there is a shrine to St. John Paul II that is designed to highlight his special connection to Our Lady, and particularly Our Lady of Fatima. And the relic in the statue of Our Lady of Fatima that Father McGlynn created under Sister Lucy's direction, and the relic, the blood-soaked portion of the sash he was wearing on that fateful day in May of 1981, right, establish a kind of parallel between the shrine that we Dominicans will have in New York City and the Fatima Shrine Basilica in Portugal, where one of the bullets fired at St. John Paul is enshrined in the crown on top of the statue of the Blessed Mother.
And that's interesting that the Dominicans tie into both of those parallels too, because you have the McGlynn statue in Portugal, and then you also have the model there in New York. And so you have all these parallels. What's your hope for this shrine? Like, what spiritual fruits do you hope can accrue from it?
Well, one of the things that we will have is this will be the first shrine dedicated to St. John Paul II in New York City. And it's given its accessibility to a large number of people, we hope it to attract a number of pilgrims who will be able to both venerate this important relic of a recent saint, and also have a chance to learn a little bit about the story of Father Tom McGlynn and the statue of Our Lady of Fatima and the special insight he had into Sister Lucy and what it was she saw in 1917. And I think it highlights a number of things, ultimately aimed toward pursuing St. John Paul II's goal of, one of his goals at least, of enhancing and increasing devotion to Our Lady. And for our listeners out there who'd like to learn more about this shrine and Our Lady of Fatima, we do have a website. That website is www.stjohnpaul.org. That's stjohnpaul.org, stjohnpaul.org. And there you can both see this statue that I referred to and read a little bit more about the connection between our former Holy Father and Our Lady, and how you can incorporate both into your own spiritual practices here in this life.
And what now, Our Lady of Fatima had quite a bit to say about spiritual practices, and one of the things she stressed was the importance of the rosary, and this is another link to the Dominicans, who are the traditional promoters of the rosary. So it's interesting how you see in this shrine so many different elements converging: the sanctity of John Paul II, the Our Lady, the mission of the Dominicans linked to what Our Lady was stressing, all these things coming together. And you also mentioned the notion of pilgrimage, which is also another traditional Dominican and really Catholic spiritual devotion. And so this is a great opportunity, the shrine, to have your own pilgrimage, to stress all these spiritual goods that are coming together there at St. Vincent Ferrer in New York.
Yeah, I think there are a number of people who incorporate some form of spiritual visit into travels they make to New York City, whether they be for vacations or for business. I encounter a few of them myself at St. Vincent Ferrer, and I would expect, or at least we would hope, that this shrine would be a place on that calendar of sites to visit for folks, especially Catholic folks that are in New York City.
An important thing to remember as well is that St. Vincent Ferrer in New York City is also the most beautiful parish in the city and worth seeing in its own right. It's really incredible.
Not that we're biased or anything.
No bias at all here.
Yeah, and I think that this shrine gives one an excuse to spend more time in what already is a place worth visiting for visitors to New York.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar here at St. Patrick's Parish in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schonk, two friars also at St. Patrick's. And also to a special visit today from Father Thomas Moore Garrett, an associate executive director of the Dominican Foundation and living at our beautiful parish in New York, St. Vincent Ferrer. And we've been talking about a shrine, St. John Paul II, that is being established in St. Vincent Ferrer, and some of the incredible things that it will contain and its links to the Fatima Shrine in Portugal.
This is a special opportunity for us to continue the work that Father McGlynn, that I mentioned earlier, began when he sought out Sister Lucy and asked for an audience with her in an effort to craft a statue that would accurately reflect the vision of Our Lady in 1917. And I sort of see this as the shrine as a way in which the Holy Spirit is kind of come full circle with the Dominicans. And what I mean by that is Father McGlynn was attracted to this message and sought out Sister Lucy and a way to further the message of Our Lady of Fatima here in the United States. John Paul II made devotion to Our Lady a central feature of his own papacy. And then Monsignor Slovomir Oder, the postulator of his cause, then came to us with this relic, almost as a response to Father McGlynn's initial pursuit of devotion to Our Lady in the 1940s, came to us and said, I have this special relic, this blood-soaked sash of St. John Paul II that he was wearing that day that an attempt was made on his life in 1981, and if you, the Dominican friars, can find a fitting place for its reverence in the United States, I would be happy to part with it. Fortunately for us, I think the Holy Spirit was behind this initiative because we were able to respond most graciously by offering probably the most fitting place for this relic, really in the world, or at least in the United States. And that is at the foot of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima that Father Tom McGlynn crafted so many years ago under the direction of one of the visionaries of the apparitions.
You know, I think it's so beautiful, that parallel that we pointed out between the shrine in Fatima and our shrine in New York. You know, in Fatima, there's the bullet that almost killed John Paul II, and in New York, his blood-soaked sash. And, you know, to me, it speaks, the blood-soaked sash especially speaks to me of, you know, John Paul was almost made a martyr that day. And witnessing to the faith, right, that Our Lady calls us to witness to the faith at great cost, sometimes even at the cost of our life. And then, you know, the shrine in Fatima with the bullet in Our Lady's crown speaks to me of the ways in which Our Lady saves us from spiritual bullets. You know, how many spiritual dangers does Our Lady preserve us from, especially through her intercession, you know, when we pray the rosary daily? She is our protector, you know, just as she protected John Paul II that day. She protects us from spiritual harm, spiritual bullets.
In these apparitions of Mary, especially Fatima and all the others, they remind us that God is not just an idea, but present to us, as Mary became present to those three children in Fatima. And it's important for us to have that link. And many of us can't go all the way to Portugal. That's a long and difficult journey. But New York is much closer, at least for all those of us in America. And so it's a way to see the reality, in a physical way, the reality of God's presence in our lives now.
Yeah, that's an excellent point that that you both make. The purpose of Our Lady coming to the three children at Fatima was to do just that, preserve souls for heaven. All right, she makes that very clear, that the purpose for her visit is to offer to the world concrete ways that folks can be responsive to the enduring call of repentance to the gospel. And we hope that our shrine in New York, highlighting the association of St. John Paul II and Our Lady, contributes to that very same purpose with which she came to those three children in 1917.
And that although that Fatima apparition was now a century ago, what she said is just as relevant to us today, that the question of how do I live out the revelation of Jesus Christ? How do I accept his salvation in the modern world? And what she had to say is just as relevant today. Can you fill us in a little bit about what her message was for those of us alive today?
Yeah, I mean, the themes of Fatima keep reoccurring. All right, they keep reoccurring. What I mean by that is in the Gospel of Mark, our Lord begins his ministry with the call of repentance, repent and believe in the gospel. All right, Mary is doing the same thing. She's echoing that message in May 1917 when she visits those children. What she says is that the world is very much in need of repentance, and I'm coming and offering through the mouthpiece of these three children concrete ways in which the faithful can respond to what was initially the request of our Lord, all right? And those three ways consist of acts of penance, all right, done chiefly by responding to the duties associated with our conditions in life. In other words, living faithfully, all right, the manner of life to which God has called us, all right? Secondly, the daily praying of the rosary, something that St. John Paul II himself often emphasized, repeatedly emphasized throughout his papacy. And finally, the special devotion of the first five Saturdays, all right, which can be expressed through attendance of Mass, sacramental confession, praying of the rosary, and setting aside 15 minutes for contemplation of either one or more of the mysteries of the rosary.
And I think we see in St. John Paul II's life one reason that Mary called him to a special devotion of herself, and especially of Our Lady of Fatima, is John Paul II is in many ways exemplifies what Our Lady of Fatima was calling us to, his dedication to his own vocation as priest and then bishop and pope, that his holiness was through his calling in life, that his also his dedication to Mary, and all the ways in which he found sanctity are the ways in which Our Lady of Fatima causes a sanctity. And so you can look at John Paul II as an example of what the Fatima message looks like in action. And so it's a natural link between these two.
Yeah, and I think one of the real striking things to me about Fatima is that at this particular point in history, you know, 20th century was the bloodiest century in all of human history. And this appearance occurring at the time of World War I, which was, you know, just devastating to all of Europe and really the whole world, that Our Lady gives us a solution that is not political. You know, 20th century was the story of trying to find political solutions to the misery of mankind, and with, you know, those ideologies led into forms of totalitarianism that just brought more suffering, you know. But Our Lady offers us a solution that is spiritual. Repent. That is the solution. Do penance, you know. And that, to me, is the real countercultural message of the church, that the problem is not out there, it's in your heart, you know. And that's the religious solution to our problems, is to change ourselves, not to, you know, go out and try to change the world in a political way.
That's an excellent point. And St. John Paul II himself, who was often at the crossroads of the great political and spiritual events of the last century, did not lose sight of Our Lady's place in all of that. In fact, he spent much of his papacy trying to highlight that. Some of our listeners will, of course, know that his apostolic motto was totus tuus, all right, totally thine, or totally yours, right, meant to be an expression of his very commitment to Our Lady. And even events of his papacy, St. John Paul II recognized, were not coincidental in their connection to Our Lady. What do I mean by that? For example, it was not coincidence that the assassination attempt made on his life occurred on May 13th of 1981. Right, May 13th was when the apparitions to the three children of Fatima began. And that was not lost on him as he survived this assassination. And then he attributed his survival to the intercession of Our Lady and honored that permanently by placing one of the bullets in the crown of a statue of Our Lady of Fatima at the shrine in Portugal, where it rests to this day. Having the sash that Monsignor Oder gave as a gift to us Dominicans here in the United States, placing that, the statue of Our Lady of Fatima, allows us to continue that same sort of gesture that St. John Paul II made by personally placing that bullet in the crown at Fatima. By placing the relic of the sash in our statue at New York City, allows us to continue that gesture here in the United States and offer that as a place for the faithful to venerate. So if you're interested in learning more about this relic, its connection to Our Lady, in particular Our Lady of Fatima, I want to urge our listeners to visit a website that we have for the shrine, and that website is www.stjohnpaul.org. That's stjohnpaul.org. And there you can read more about the story that we've been talking about here on the show.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I've been joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schonk, both from St. Patrick's, and Father Thomas Moore Garrett at our parish, St. Vincent Ferrer in New York. Let us end in prayer in our ode to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth,
rose of patience,
ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte Spiritus, Veni Penaria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.